Read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, text number 8. So chapter 15 is called Yoga the Supreme. Is that too loud? And I'm going to read from text number 8. Shri Ram Yadavapnoti Yatschap Yukramati Shraha Grihivaitani Samyati Vayuragandani Vashayat. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Please repeat. The living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Śrīla Prabhupāda's purport. Here the living entity is described as Īśvara, the controller of his own body. If he likes, he can change his body to a higher grade. And if he likes, he can move to a lower class. Minute independence is there. The change his body undergoes depends upon him. At the time of death, the consciousness he has created will carry him on to the next type of body. If he has made his consciousness like that of a cat or a dog, he is sure to change to a cat's or dog's body. And if he has fixed his consciousness on godly qualities, he will change into the form of a demigod. And if he is in Krishna consciousness, he will be transferred to Krishna Loka in the spiritual world and will associate with Krishna. It is a false claim that after the annihilation of this body, everything is finished. The individual soul is transmigrating from one body to another, and his present body and present activities are the background of his next body. One gets a different body according to karma, and he has to quit this body in due course. It is stated here that the subtle body, which carries the conception of the next body, develops another body in the next life. This process of transmigrating from one body to another and struggling while in the body is called karshati, or struggle for existence. So the text again. Shariram yadavapnoti yatschapyu krimati shvaraha grihit vaitani samyati vayuragandan ivashayat. The living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Paristaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paska Dhyade Satarane. Is anyone here for the first time? Well, welcome everyone. So here it mentions about the soul, and it mentions about Īśvara and the living entity and getting different bodies. There is a Bhagavad Gita deals with five subject matters, namely Īśvara. Īśvara being the supreme controller, namely Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, as well as Jiva, the soul. We happen to be the soul, so we're also in Bhagavad Gita. We get a little mention there. We can't say Krishna is neglecting us. He also talks about us. And then he talks about karma, activities that the living entity does in the material world, as well as kala, called time, and prakriti, the material nature. And within the explanation of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains things that are probably inconceivable to us at the present moment, but he begins with something simple, relatively simple, which although it's as obvious as, say, the sun, but due to the influence of the illusory energy, it's not as obvious as we would hope it would be. Namely, that our body is changing. I think most of us will agree, although we don't like to agree with it, that our body is changing, but it just happens to be a fact that our body is changing. And most of us will admit, at least privately, that it's not getting younger. So the body's changing, it's getting what's called older. Actually, we say, as Prabhupada used to say, we say happy birthday. But actually, birthday means that we're closer to death. So what's so happy about that? We say happy birthday, but even when one takes birth, it wasn't a very happy day. Because as soon as we come into the world, immediately, wah! Ah! The first sound the living entity makes, ah! Don't hit me again. And then at the end, we're saying happy birthday, but it means another day closer to death. And we don't sing, happy death day to you, happy death day. So we don't think, we say happy birthday, which wasn't so happy. And we know death day is not so happy either. And in between here, it mentions that our body keeps on changing. No matter how sincere we are, we take our vitamin pills every day. We do our half an hour of yoga exercise. We're vegans or something. And we walk little old ladies across the street. Still, the body keeps on changing anyhow. And we ourselves within the body, we're the same person who is perceiving that we were a 5-year-old and that we were a 10-year-old and that we have this body now. And as the body keeps on changing, we'll still be perceiving ourselves and identifying ourselves with the body. So the person who identifies himself with the body, he's known as a spiritual soul. And as he's unaffected by all the different changes of the body, so at the time of death, he'll also be unaffected by death, and simply he'll go somewhere else. Just like when our car doesn't work anymore, it doesn't mean that we don't work anymore. It means we have to get another car, or we have to go out and walk. So similarly, Krishna begins with something relatively simple in the Bhagavad Gita, namely that we're eternal. Now that should come as quite a good, encouraging statement from Krishna. Unfortunately, people don't take Krishna seriously, so whatever he says, they don't take seriously, even if it's for making ourselves joyful. Because if we take Krishna's words seriously, he also mentions things that some people don't like, namely that he happens to be God. So Krishna being God, they think, well, he's so proud. He keeps on saying he's God. Of course, I say, I think I'm God too. So we'll allow him to think he's God, but he shouldn't be so serious about it. He should allow for other people to be God too. But here it says, Krishna, in order to encourage us, he says, we're Ishvara also. But we're a little tiny Ishvara. We're not the big Ishvara. And exactly what we're doing may come as a surprise to us because Krishna also says we're doing nothing, which is rather discouraging. But then he says, here, we're the Ishvara. So now we're listening again. But what kind of Ishvara are we? Not a very big Ishvara. All we can do is we have the capacity to desire. And there's a God, and the God happens to be with us. He's known as Paramatma, an expansion of Krishna. And he understands our desires just like one can understand the flavor of a flower just by smelling it. So Krishna is quite intelligent. He has all kinds of mystic potency. He's quite psychic, in other words. He knows exactly what we're thinking, even before we think it. He knows what we're going to think. People are worried about their privacy. The NSA is listening to our class right now. Hopefully they're taking notes. And they have in America now, they have lampposts. And the lampposts, when you walk out, they're recording what you're saying. You stand next to the you can talk to the lampposts, and you're not crazy. You might be crazy also. But the lampposts will record what you're saying. And even the director of the CIA at that time, when he was before Congress, American Congress, he mentioned that they have refrigerators now, and they have these chips in the refrigerator to record your conversations. But that's nothing new. They even know what you're eating. Maybe they'll recommend a healthy diet. You open the refrigerator, and you hear this little voice coming from the refrigerator. Not so many sweets. Try to eat more salad. We're watching you. But it just so happens that the Supreme Lord, who's in our heart, he knows everything we're thinking, everything we're doing. He knows everything about us, the past, present, future. And no one complains that there's a lack of privacy. You rascal, get out. Get out. I said, get out. He doesn't seem to leave. No, because he has a very special business. He senses our desires, because we ourselves have nothing to do with the material nature. We're simply desiring, and then according to of course, we don't even desire. We can't even give ourselves that much credit. We have no independent desires. According to what we've done in the past, then desires are automatically rising in our mind. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes you have a desire that you don't want to have. And even like, go away. No, I'm not going away. Go away, go away. No, forget it. Surrender. I'm not going to leave until you surrender. Surrender. I don't want you to go. Too bad. I'm your mind. Life after life, if I go with you and tell you what to do. You don't tell me what to do. Get it straight, soul. So we have this mind, and the mind has been accompanying us since time immemorial, and it's full of ideas. Even when we take birth, there's different ideas. And then they start manifesting as we grow up and meet different circumstances. So even our desire is a condition by our circumstances. Prabhupada said, when you get the body of a pig, you have to act like a pig. You can't say, well, I don't want to eat that. is there a vegetarian alternative? Tiger can't say, well, I'm tired of meat. You know, I saw on a TV program it's bad. Especially these cows are genetically modified now. And no, when you're a tiger, you have to eat meat. And when you're a human being, there may be some more choice. But the choice is not whether you have brand A beer or brand B beer. There's another kind of choice, whether I want the desire for spiritual elevation. Spiritual elevation means at least to realize, to experience my eternal identity. And if not my eternal identity, at least the fact that I am eternal. If I can realize I'm eternal, then all my problems go away. Because actually I have no problems. My only problem is I think I have problems. And the reason why I think I have problems is because I think I'm this body. But the only problem is I think I have problems. Otherwise I have no problem. Once we stop thinking that I'm the body, then we won't think that the body's problems or the mind's problems are our problems. They're certainly the body's problem. They're certainly the mind's problem. It's not that when we stop thinking, the body, I don't have any problems. The body still has problems. but I won't think they're my problems. Just like if you hear your car and it's running out of gas, you don't think, my God, I'm running out of gas. No, you think your car is running out of gas. And the solution is to put in some gas, not go, oh, go, 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 go. No, put gas in the car. You don't have a problem. Get your own food, not the car's food. Fill up the car, and then the car will work. And if the car doesn't work, then get out of the car and walk or get another car. But don't stand over the car, oh, my car, it's not running, it's not working. Let's bury the car and say some good things about the car. It was a good car. It was a saintly car. It probably went to car heaven. Whoever was in the car went to car heaven when it broke down. Actually, we're not the body. We're not the car. And therefore, we don't have to really, in one sense, we want to utilize this body for self-realization. We want to utilize this body so we can actually realize we're eternal. And that may not happen all at once. It happens by gradually, by following a process, not be so attached to our hankering after the material things and lamenting over what we've done in the past. Now, we have two activities in the material world. One is hankering for something in the future, and the other is, oh, so many bad things happened in the past. So once we stop that, then our mind becomes a little bit more clear. And when our mind is clear, then we can think more clearly. And thinking more clearly means, ultimately, we can realize that we're all eternal. So that's a big relief. I'm not going to die. When the body dies, I don't die. Of course, we get another body, but then that should make us more cautious. What kind of body do I want in my next lifetime? And what is the process by which I get my next body? It is not that everyone leaves their body and they go to the big store, supermarket in the sky, and you go and you pick out your next body. No, that's determined by what's called laws. Just like if you want to buy a car, you can only afford as much as money as you have. You have no money, you have to get a bicycle or maybe a tricycle. So similarly, according to our activities in this lifetime, which means we can tell what our activities are primarily by we can watch what we're doing. I mean, we notice if we're moving our arms or we're speaking, we generally listen to what we're saying. But this is all arising out of desire. The soul is desiring and witnessing the results of the desires. It is not that we're desiring, I'm hungry, I want to eat, and then food is before us, and then we don't eat. No, because we're desiring to eat. It's not that suddenly I was actually watching television, and then suddenly I see I'm eating. I didn't even know what happened, how this all happened. No, we desire to eat, then we eat. We desire to watch television, then we find ourselves watching television. So there's a connection, generally speaking, unless we're really in difficulty, between what we're desiring and what we're doing. So we have some free will in the material world to decide what we want to do. Now, our free will, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, consists in either deciding I'll do something for Krishna or I'll do something to orientate my desires towards realizing my spiritual identity, my spiritual position, or we desire simply to fulfill the desires arising from our past conditioning. So that's our free will, which way we want to orientate our desires, either towards the spiritual realization or to gratify the demands of our senses and mind. And then Krishna supplies intelligence, because without intelligence, how can we actually perceive what our choices are? He supplies intelligence. But when we make our choices, then according to what we deserve, then Krishna makes the arrangements. It's done so expertly that we don't even notice how Krishna is doing it. It's done so nicely that we actually think we're doing it. I think when I'm moving my arms, that I'm moving my arms, oh, how wonderful I'm moving my arms, just look. At least I notice how wonderful my arms are moving. Even if you don't, because you're in Maya, but I do. So we don't give any credit to Krishna. Oh, Krishna, if you only you could move your arms as nicely as I do. No, actually, it's Krishna. Of course, we blame Krishna if something goes wrong. Why did God do this to me? Who does he think he is anyhow? If you are there, don't worry, I'll get even. This is not the end. But if something goes good, oh, just watch me. See my prowess. But actually, we're desiring, and Krishna is fulfilling our desires, just like one can smell the flavor of a flower by smelling it, understand the flavor. And then he arranges through his material nature. Now, it could elevate us, as I said, or it could degrade us. And the accumulation of our desires, just like bees, they go out and they gather different types of pollen. And then they come back and they make honey out of the varieties of pollen. And the honey will taste according to the different pollen that the bees have gathered. So our present experience right now is a result of many, many past desires and activities. And now we're tasting it now as our present existence. And according to what we do now, we're gathering more pollen. So in the future, that will manifest itself as a particular arrangement of the material circumstances and give us an opportunity to desire more in some direction. If we're progressing on the spiritual platform, then life after life we may make progress until we reach perfection. And if we're going downwards, then after some time we reach the lowest stage and we reach the stage of the, well, we can imagine. To get a dog body would be considered rather advanced, some of the other stages. So such an opportunity of going up is available easily in Kali Yuga, just by chanting Hare Krishna. And such an opportunity to go down to the lower species of life is offered in Kali Yuga also, by the unlimited sinful activities which people are accumulating due to the slaughter of animals, due to massive amounts of intoxication being taken, unrestricted illicit sex. Even illicit sex is bad, but now even that is unrestricted. And unrestricted mental speculation and gambling. People who come up with the craziest ideas, and then they're considered to be learned. And people, their whole life is just to gamble. Just out of boredom sometimes, even they tie themselves up on a building and then jump off the building. Just to have a little excitement in life. So these things are not auspicious, and they're so unrestricted that human form of life has become not a very good position in Kali Yuga. Unless one is fortunate enough to take to the process of self-realization, especially the chanting of Hare Krishna. Because the chanting of Hare Krishna means that we are coming in direct contact with Krishna. We may be conscious of Krishna, or we may not be so conscious of Krishna. Fortunately, Krishna is conscious of us, trying to make some attempt to become conscious of him, and he reciprocates according to our sincerity. So whether we're conscious of Krishna or not so conscious of Krishna, still if we take to the process, gradually our consciousness of Krishna will increase. And then gradually we'll be able to understand what is our actual interest, the interest of the soul, and our life will become more simple and more satisfying and at least more peaceful when our direction in life is clearer. And the means of achieving what we're looking for, namely permanent peace and happiness, will become more readily understandable by us. So that's achieved by chanting Hare Krishna, reading Bhagavad Gita, associating with devotees, trying to spread the Hare Krishna movement, tell everyone that we meet, even our friends, even our enemies, our husband, our wife, our children, give the dog some prasadam, whatever we can do to help distribute Krishna consciousness to others, worship the deities, and take prasadam. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any? Yes. Ayurveda question.
I am a Vata Pitta Kapha constitution, the doctor is in Pitta Vata Kapha, and I feel too much of Kapha. What can I do to diminish my Kapha? And the second question is...
I don't know if I can answer the first one. You're a Vata Pitta.
Kapha.
Everyone is Vata Pitta Kapha. Everyone has, you're equally Vata, Pitta, and Kapha.
I feel too much of Kapha.
You have Vikriti Kapha.
Yes.
Don't eat ice cream.
Okay.
Don't eat things that are too fatty. Don't eat sugar. Eat things that are dry, that are bitter, astringent, and pungent. Add a little ginger to your diet. Anything else?
What Ayurvedic medicine do you suggest that you wake me up in the morning?
Mangalarti. Come to Mangalarti. Yes. You'll have to ask Yamaraj that. He's the one who's very, it gets very complicated because we're working by association. And collective, how Krishna arranges things collectively, we'd have to understand how every atom, Krishna is in it, and he makes at every moment everything perfectly arranged so that when people, for instance, in America, seemingly, or as other country, something happens and no one reacts. The country, the leaders of the country do something and no one reacts. So they become guilty. They're a collective because they have they may have some responsibility and they don't take up the responsibility. Therefore it's noted. They may even be enjoying the benefits of some kind of sinful activity that the government's doing. So, because they're enjoying the benefits and they may even protest, but they themselves are engaged in sinful activities. Just like wars. Prabhupada said that wars, they're simply a payback, not for defeating the terrorists. Wars are paybacks for especially slaughter of animals. You put animals into a slaughterhouse, then you have to be slaughtered on the battlefield. So it doesn't matter who they elect as the leader. If the people are sinful, they'll have to get their sinful reactions. And that may come in the form of pestilence, wars, natural disasters. But they're destined because of their sinful activities. It's just that everyone is doing the same thing. How many people eat at McDonald's every day? So they're all collectively sharing. They're doing the same sinful activity, and therefore they get the same sinful reaction together. Yes. No, I don't. I, there's something called call a spade a spade. We're not supposed to be foolish. You know, we don't, our main business is to spread Krishna consciousness. So it's not that when we see there people are slaughtering innocent animals, wasn't that Prabhupada when he wrote about that in his books, we shouldn't slaughter innocent animals, that somehow or another we're criticizing people and that we're going to get a sinful reaction for criticizing the slaughter of animals. It's not like that. No, besides that, Prabhupada said we're not criticizing, it's Krishna's criticizing. Because he's just explaining what the laws of karma are, that people have to suffer because they've killed the animal and therefore they'll have to suffer. But our main business is to tell people the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which may include that. But it's not our personal condemnation of anyone because we're not the controllers. It's Krishna who's the controller. It's his material nature. It's his souls, everything. But we're simply repeating so that people understand Krishna's message. So if anyone's going to enjoy, have to suffer a sinful reaction, it's Krishna, because he's the one who's criticizing. But luckily he doesn't suffer any sinful reactions. Yes. What's that? No, we should try and keep it on the subject. Otherwise, you can ask me privately the question. Dai Gornitai. Anything else? Yes. I don't speak Slovenian. Take, come here and take prasadam. Chant Hare Krishna. Krishna doesn't require anything. He already owns everything. Chant Hare Krishna, be happy. All he wants is our love, that's all. He's only asked us to chant Hare Krishna. So if we do that happily, then Krishna will be happy and will make spiritual advancement. There's no material impediment. If you had too many things, you wouldn't know what to do with them. But now you only have Krishna. So life is easy. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.